Welcome to Off the Handle, your favorite comedy podcast. I think it's a sport podcast. Maybe it's a wrestling podcast. It's just a podcast, but it's your favorite podcast. I'm your host, Renan Preville. And today I got my favorite person in the world, myself, on the podcast. No, I'm kidding. I actually have one of my close friends, guest named Bunny.
I like the intro. That's sweet, man. Yes. It feels very stadium-like. It's right up in the wrestling vein. I'm with it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
I like it. It's like friends wrestling fun. Yeah, that's a great podcast base right there.
Yeah, I honestly was kind of like forgetting because I was going to say your last name, but I'm like, wait, we just said not do your last name.
It's okay. Yeah, well, I guess we could go there that way. My name's Bunny Rivera. If you want to look me up on Facebook or whatever, or you know, whichever other platform out there. But the one that I wanted to introduce today was this new thing I got going on, a new project, kind of initiative wise for my city, called the Hot Girl. Yeah, it's called the Lake Worth Hot Girl Walk Club. And I left you links and stuff, so you can throw those out there. But basically, it's a community initiative where we focus on, you know, fitness and being a community of people that are about boosting our brain health, because life's not easy and it's not really getting any easier. And we realize that, you know, in this world of social media and I don't know, singularity, maybe even let's not make too conspiracy theory right off the bat.
I don't know what that word is. I don't know what that means.
All right, we'll talk about that sometime. Okay. But yeah, just in this world where people are, you know, kind of needing maybe a little more than just doom scrolling or you know, going out and drinking at a bar or you know, just things that tend to be more unhealthy and kind of tear you down further. And like so yeah, Lake Worth Hot Girl Walk Club, we walk. And we all meet together at a parking lot and where it's safe across the street from the fire department. And we walk to the beach and we come back and we, you know, check out murals and go to different shops in downtown Lake Worth and we have fun.
I like that. That's finding a something that's simple. Everyone can walk. Well, not everyone, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. No, I kind of had to like navigate around that because it was like, I want to be inclusive, you know, but it is a walking club. And it's like, so it was like, we're all ages and all walking abilities.
I like that. Yeah. You know, not everyone's, people used to do CrossFit to, you know, kill themselves. Not a typical gym workout because some people are getting intimidated from the gym or don't like to actually just lift weights. But walking is like literally the best exercise you can do. You don't have to like be a top runner or anything like that. You don't have to train to be a walker. You just walk. And I know that walk to that beach is it's a pretty nice beach. It's not very like, it's not too far, but it's far enough to where you probably will get a sweat. So that's pretty awesome, man.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And yeah, it's definitely going to be a sweat and it's, you know, it is like 3 mile walk. So, but you know, we got like an hour and a half to do it. So I think it's gonna be a lot of fun with a bunch of ladies and really whoever wants to come.
Well, I'm glad for you. I definitely need a t-shirt if there's one available.
Oh man, you know what, I've been like, I jumped on it so fast that I've been like thinking of all these people have just been like throwing ideas my way and I'm like, wow, that's a great idea, cool, thank you. And it really does make it feel like a community initiative, you know, because people are interested in like, oh, let's throw some gear out, you know. And I was telling Andy Amoroso, he's running for mayor over at Tacky Tourist, and he was like, well, cool, what do you guys need? You want some water bottles? I hadn't even thought of like, oh, that'd be cool to have sponsors, you know, why not?
That's awesome. So I like that. Taking off.
Yeah, it kind of like, it's starting to kind of have its own life, you know, its own mind.
When's the next walk?
So our next walk is December 9th. We're starting at 6 p.m. and it's every second Saturday. That's what we're shooting for now. But, you know, things flow and change. But every second Saturday, we're meeting at the Arts District Mural, which is across the street on Lucerne from the Lake Worth Fire Department. So yeah, if anybody out there is listening, you guys want to, I'm going to definitely link this to Lake Worth Hot Girl Club and be like, hey, we did a wrestling podcast.
Yeah. Off the handle. Just remember that.
Yes. Off the handle. All right. Well,
what got you wanting to start this club?
Mostly like what, like I said, you know, just like having a third space, because that's something that's really important in communities, is having some other space to be able to do something outside of, you know, whatever the norm would be.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lake Worth is very driven with their businesses. And I love that about that. I love that about Lake Worth. But it's just kind of hard to do things without having alcohol present.
Understood.
And so, you know, and we're definitely not discouraging people from, if they want to go have a drink, you know, while the walk's happening, like, by all means, you know, go have a drink, go have fun. It's Lake Worth, you know, but if you choose not to, there's no pressure. There's no alcohol being served around you. So you're definitely in the right space, you know?
Yeah. I like that. It's an alternative of, doing the typical, like, not that there's nothing wrong with that, but like typical, like going to the bar, just drinking, as something right. to do. Community, get to talk to people, because bar conversations can be fun too.
Absolutely.
They're not very sober sometimes. I totally have invented technology at a bar and then totally forgot the next day.
So. Yes, those lucid moments of inspiration are also available through brain drugs. And that's why, our main marketing endeavor is to really push that ideal of like, hey, you know, your brain chemistry can do the same thing that drug can do for you. You just got to chase it a different way.
Yeah. I mean, definitely walking, also you get the endorphins. For me, when I was working out very much, it was on my Instagram. I felt not necessarily the happiest, but I felt like the most, like, I had the most energy. You know, you like to see that you get improved into your looks, you look better, you feel better. And alcohol doesn't always bring the best out of you.
I've been doing a little bit of homework on like what exactly is happening with endorphins and oxytocin and all these like good brain drugs, you know, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And walking is definitely making those drop, or just exercise in general, you know. But I remember, yeah, when you were like, you were going to the gym like two a days, like you were in it. Yeah. And like, were you still wrestling then? Or
I trained, honestly, I just feel like something I wanted to do different. I started like posting on Instagram and Facebook, Ren Gets Fit. I even started doing personal training a little bit.
Yeah.
It was just something I wanted to compete in a bodybuilding competition. And I even hired a coach and everything.
All right. So you were about it. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Okay.
It was a fun time, but like, it just something.
Oh,
like,
that's, sorry. That's Piglet. He's been a little sick. So you might hear him hack a little.
For people that don't know, Piglet is.
Piglet is my albino pit bull, and he's kind of under the weather right now. We took him to the vet yesterday, so he's been kind of like hacking a lot, and he's been in my phone calls and in my conversations, and we got the chance to do off the handle, and so I couldn't kick him out.
I got you. Well, I'm a little bit under the weather too, so if you guys hear me coughing, my bad. Just been sick for a few days. Who don't know, I did it on my first episode, Bring Back the Podcast. I don't live in Lake Worth or Florida anymore. I'm upstate New York. It's cold all the time, but I am loving it. I don't think I could do a walk like you guys can in Florida. It's too cold out there. But there are some people that do. I've seen like walk out here. Like,
well, that's hardcore. That is seriously hardcore, and I am inspired by that. I'm inspired, actually. Because I think we were talking the other day, and you you were like, oh my God, it's like 40 something degrees. And I was like, you know what, let me just throw that city on my temperature thing every day. So like most of the time, and if I'm looking at the temperature, I can see where yours is at. And I'm like, that's got a track.
Yeah, actually this morning, today was my day off, but this morning it was 23 degrees. Yeah. Funny thing is, that's nothing, because like it gets negative 8 degrees. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, so this cold is cold, but it's not that bad yet. And still hasn't snowed yet. It should start snowing in December, January time. So like I still haven't had my driven in the snow yet. I've had a little bit of taste of that. Actually, the stupidest thing I did, I didn't think about it, but it's like, because why would I? Is I was driving to work, and there was a bug that hit my windshield. So I used my windshield wipers, and I hit the fluid. And I, as windshield wipers are going up and then going back down, I realized I just froze my windshield.
And you just got bug goo, like froze bug goo, just a nice layer.
Yeah. Right over the glass. I had to look outside the window wasn't that dramatic, but I definitely had to look around and wait for this this clunk of ice to just melt finally. But like,
yeah,
definitely like a lesson learned. Like actually I was supposed to get an ice brush I ordered a couple of days yesterday. So I gotta wait for that. It's supposed to come today. But yeah, that's a lesson what I've learned from this area. Don't use windshield wiper fluid when it's snowing or when it's cold. I gotta get like antifreeze or some type of non-frozen windshield wiper fluid. I don't know what it's called, but that's what I need. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about growing up as an immigrant kid. Yep.
We've had some great conversations about growing up as immigrant children, you know, offspring of immigrant. So some good ones, some, you know, I guess it's just life, but there are some really funny stories in there.
Yeah. I can remember, like, we talk about, like, waste. Like, my family, like, immigrants don't believe in waste. Like, because we, in Florida, not Florida, but in America, we have an abundance of food. And people, you know, tend to kind of, like, eat a little bit and then throw it away. It's a lot of waste. But growing up, you know, as a, you know, a Haitian kid, and my mom's from Haiti, they don't believe in, like, throwing away food.
Right.
And my mom would always, like, literally, like, I leave a fry, like, half a burger or whatever, she'll just finish it. We used to call my mom our garbage disposal, because she would not.
She would just hoover it right up.
Exactly. Craziest thing I would hate is leftovers. My mom didn't believe in leftovers. She believed in your leftovers is her meal.
Yeah, pretty much how it went too. If I mean, it was just like mom was always packing like a feral hamster, you know, just packing the fridge with whatever we could get our hands on. And I think at some point, like I remember once I got older, even like when she wasn't, you know, when we weren't really struggling, and like. I came up with a name for it. I called it waste guilt. Because waste like, guilt. Yeah, waste yes. guilt. Like, because like, and I know immigrant kids understand this because I've talked to other, I have one friend that's Chinese and Trinidadian. Mm-hmm. And like, oh man, those two together are like even worse. Like you can't, you know, you don't use like a paper towel. Like a whole piece, you cut like a slice off, like a sliver of whatever you need.
Wait, no. But it's already, paper towels are really, they already have like.
Like it's like whatever you need. It's like whatever, I mean, I know, I'm saying that's from my family too, because my family was like that too, you know? And it was like, and if you don't absolutely necessarily need that piece of paper towel, you know, you don't use it. You just air dry or something, you know?
I know being a son of an immigrant is that country, I think there's the butter, country butter.
The country crock? Can be
country crock. That container can be regular butter or a can of beans and rice.
Uh-huh, or oatmeal, or what else do I get? Beans for sure.
or literally your lunch container. It's your you're going to school with a bunch of white. For me, going to school for a bunch of white. It didn't happen all the time. My mom eventually realized like what Lunchables are. But I remember like going to school with like rice and beans and a country crock thing. And I was like, nah, I ain't doing that play. No. Thank God my mom learned what Sam's Club was and started going to getting Lunchables. After that, yeah.
And God forbid that they packed soup when.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, your friends are all eating like pizza.
And you got like a chicken foot or something in your soup.
Yes. Yes. The only immigrant kids know that experience. It's a humbling experience, but it's also it's like, it kind of like showed me like, now that I'm older, like, yeah, a little embarrassed when I was a kid, but I was like, my parents were doing the best they could, or my mom was doing the best she could. And also it's like, I'm not going to waste this thing in my house. Now that I'm older, I'm like, there's some stuff that like I use that I probably shouldn't reuse, but it's like, well, I'm going to throw this away. That's a good box. I'm going to need that box.
Yeah. And then, you know, and there's a lot of, oh man, I guess like definitely we covered like so many, I guess tendencies that you like gain in your life or like insecurities that your brain just like automatically goes to, you know, it's like when somebody tells you, that you can't do something or that you're just not, you know, that's not for you, you know, like you tend to be more ready to believe them.
Yeah. I used to listen to Gary Vee, and he also was a kid of immigrants. And my sister explained it to me because when I heard this from Gary Vee, it made sense. And I talked to my sister about it. And it's that immigrant parents come here with fear. They came here, worked their regular jobs. And if you want to start doing different things, they'd be like, nah, that's not for you. This is what the normal thing is to work a desk job or this job or there. Something that's safe, because what they came from.
Something that's dependable.
Say that one more time.
Maybe something that's dependable, and it's also like a status thing, you know, because they do come with so much fear of the unknown. First off, you know, it's a culture clash, and you know, it's hard to like as a child of immigrant, you know, you're just a kid growing up, but you gotta like look at all these things as you get older.
Yeah, like they did the best they could, and also like they didn't know. Like, if try to explain to an immigrant from 20 years ago what an influencer is, they would just look what?
They're like, you're watching somebody, wasting your time watching somebody say what?
Yeah, exactly. They do like those are things that are just not common, and they don't know, and then they don't like think is a real thing. But you know, they didn't know better, so always the new generation that kind of like do better. I'm a son of an immigrant. My kids won't go through some of the stuff that I saw, but also like they'll do better for their kids. And my mom did better for me than what she got. So I even though there's some stuff that were like kind of like, oh, that's not cool. Yeah. I appreciate it that like she did the best she could, and also it's like she learned some stuff, she made mistakes, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's totally part of this like. This like healing journey, I think, of like learning what it is because of like, you know, just stuff that happens as growing up like that. There's trauma response to, you know, just having parents that are negligent or just not able to be there because they are so busy and they have so much going on and they lack understanding of what it is to grow up the way, you know, their children are growing up. But like this whole journey of like healing and learning what it is to be a man and a woman, or whatever it is your gender or role is, or whatever it is you want to fulfill in this world, you know, it's like we kind of like, it kind of goes back full circle, I think, to what I was talking about and like creating community. You know, is like, it's really important, I think, to be able to have a community around you of a varied people, you know, to have friendships and relationships that are solid and healthy, and you can always kind of like ping pong between everybody's outlook, you know, as long as they're being non-toxic and positive, you know. But that's what I like to share it with that's what I like to share with a community of people, you know, because when you get to walk with somebody, you talk with somebody,
get to learn something different from them. Everyone's like, it's getting a bar story without the actual bar, because we all have different outlooks and we were all raised differently. So it's like when I first started my old job years ago, I start talking about certain stuff and people look at me and be like, what? And I'm like, oh, am I not normal? Because I'm like, oh, they didn't grow up this way.
Right.
And you don't know that until you start meeting more people. Like, we don't all have the same upbringings. We don't all have the same thoughts. But also, I can take something from you that I would never have gotten if I would be back in my own community, like a small community. It's good to branch out, learn things.
I really like what you said, though. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, okay. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I really like what you said about it's like having the bar talk without being at the bar. Because there's I saw some video somewhere about in Sweden, they have libraries where you can rent out people and you can just sit there and tell someone your life story.
Yeah, I did see that. And I like that idea. It's because, like, it's just like so many people have, like, I met people at bars that, like, would tell me the craziest things. Some of them were lying 100%.
Which is still entertaining.
That's true. That's true. But, like, you never know. Like I met a guy that was, like, he gave me a lie. This is at a bar. But he told me he worked for Jimi Hendrix. And I was, like, I knew how old he was. And I was, like, there's no way he worked for Jimi Hendrix. But the story was elaborate. It was an amazing story.
Wow.
Yeah. It was
impressive.
But I definitely knew he didn't work for Jimi Hendrix because, like, he's not old enough, and Jimi Hendrix died in like the 70s. There's no way that happened.
Right.
Yeah, but you learn those things. I did want to ask you about wrestling, because this is
all right. Let's do well. Okay, so for people who don't know, I'm Mexican American. I'm what they call a pocha. I'm child of a first generation Mexican beautiful woman named Maria de Lourdes Flores Marshall.
Oh, I can't. I can't. There's some R's rolled there.
But, you know, people call her Lourdes.
I like that.
Yeah, and my dad, and he's a second generation child of an immigrant. My grandmother, my lovely lady, and her name is Elba Castillo Flores, and I'm very proud to be of Mexican descent, and we are huge on wrestling. We love lucha libre. And as a kid, when I got to move to Mexico and see lucha libre, and they stuck me back in first grade, because I didn't know my timetables from second grade.
You know what? In Florida, I think I was learning timetables in like fifth grade. So that's crazy. You were learning that in second.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I went to Mexico to live in first grade, and they were like, oh no, you can't go to second grade because you don't know your timetable. So since I was the biggest kid, right, in first grade, if ever we were playing the kids for Lucha Libre at recess in second grade, they'd always throw me out there.
I like that.
Yeah, man.
How long did you live in Mexico?
I think I lived there for almost a year between being like 6 and 7, and then I would go back periodically for like summers.
Yeah,
every summer.
Did you realize the difference in, like, because you're so young, did you realize the difference in Mexico and in American culture?
Oh, man, it was definitely a culture clash. And I remember a lot of days, like, they just happened yesterday. And I remember being so taken aback by, like, okay, when you go to school and you go to recess, the gates are open and, like, there's a bunch of food carts, like food carts everywhere on the street. Mm. And you can just go buy food, you know, and it's super cheap. And then you got to come back to school once the bell rings.
Yeah, they would never do that here. Too many kidnappers and creeps.
And I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, probably things have changed since then. You know, I'm not, it's been 30 years. But Yeah, it's, but Lucha Libre. Okay, so I didn't have like a wrestling name back then, though. I wish I would have, like,
you should,
if I did, yeah, I probably would have, and I kicked ass too. Well, I was an angry little kid.
Before we get back to the wrestling, I actually did want to talk about being platonic friends. This is a subject I forgot to talk about. We'll get back to wrestling, but
okay.
Platonic friendships.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we're stating specifically between like men and women because this is something that like I've definitely come across multiple times in my life, and I've lost friends because of it, and I never felt like I got any closure from it, and I still feel kind of hurt sometimes about it, you know, but I understand there's, you know, there's roles that especially in, you know, monogamous male-female relationships, that there's certain boundaries that need to be respected. And a lot of times, whatever it is, plays into those friends not, you know, those friends breaking up in a sense or not talking to each other, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is difficult. I do have a lot of female friends and few male friends. And I think I've only been in one serious relationship. I've been in relationships, but I'm engaged. But
yay.
Yeah. I think that you can have platonic friendships that do have to have a level of respect, where I think some friends don't have that. But the best part of platonic friendships that are male and female is that, like, say if I get in a fight with my girl, I can like call my buddy, I can call my boy and say, like, hey, this blah, blah, blah happened. He's not going to see it the same way a woman would. But if I call my female friends and explain it to them, they'll be like, oh, hey, this is why she feels this way.
Yeah.
So, and vice versa with male friendships. It's hard to keep those friendships because there's always kind of a, if there's no attraction, I think the male and female friendships can be the most beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like, I haven't had to like really end any friendships, but I definitely have to put like boundaries. And boundaries are, I think with any type of friendship, you should have boundaries, but mostly with, especially with platonic male and female friendships, the boundaries have to be even higher.
Yeah. Okay, so totally. I love a lot of things you said here. And first and foremost, shout out to Rachel, because I like that lady. She's cool. When you and I were friends and you were talking about Rachel, you were just so excited. And I was so excited for you. And and then all of a sudden, like, here we are, but 2 years later, a year and a half later, and like, you guys are off to the races.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
So yeah, it was shout out to Rachel. Yeah, love that girl. And okay, so let's talk boundaries. That was the last thing you said, because this one was really big. The boundaries thing went, like, I've definitely had male friends where there has been an attraction, and after a while I kind of started to feel like they're my cousin or like my brother, you know? And because I allowed myself the boundaries, and because I allowed myself the space to be able to appreciate them outside of just being like physically attracted to them in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking mostly from like a past experience that I had where this gentleman was, I think we were like in our early 20s, you know, so it was a lot harder to kind of navigate your emotions in that space, you know, being so young.
Yeah.
But
in your 20s, like, you definitely don't know who you are. You don't know how to react to things.
And then your hormones are raging. You're like at your, you know, you're at your peak. Your pheromones are just fucking firing off, and you're retarded. Like, I mean, you know, you're just kind of not all you could be.
Yes, exactly.
But in that sense, you know, I, and And I really had to, like, I really wanted to be his friend, because at some point I found myself, like, appreciating him for who he is. And I was like, you know what, if I try to go to this place with this person, like, yeah, we're both in our 20s, we're both, you know, available in that way, but, like, do I really want to lose that person after we both kind of get over that emotional high, you know, and our brains drop all that oxytocin, and then we're okay, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer I kept telling myself was no. And that's when I kept coming across. And then he eventually got with a girl, and we tried hanging out a couple times, and she was just, like, really possessive and very jealous. And I tried very hard to kind of keep her around.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was not happening. You know, it just was not happening. Even if I would be like, oh, hey, let's all hang out, you know? And eventually he just, like, hey, you know, my girlfriend said that I can't hang out with you anymore. And that's pretty much what it came down to, you know, and all together, what do you do? I have to respect it, but boundaries first and foremost, you know, like if it's something you wouldn't tell, like if it's something I wouldn't tell my cousin or a brother, I didn't grow up with brothers or sisters, like blood brothers and sisters, but like I have cousins, a lot of them, because I'm Mexican. So if it doesn't feel like something I'd tell my cousin because I feel disrespectful in a sense, you know, I guess you just have to learn. I probably wouldn't share, you know,
something. Elaborate a little bit more on that.
Like, I wouldn't share something of like a sexual manner, maybe, you know, like maybe I would with one of my female cousins because like we're the same sex or we were both understanding what it is to be women and sexual beings in that manner. But I'm not, but I wouldn't necessarily share it with my cousin that's a male, you know?
So what you're saying is that, like, if you had, like, a sex story, like, something happened, like, you hooked up with somebody or whatever, you wouldn't tell your male cousin.
Right. I would share it with, like, a male cousin, because that's just, like, you know, you don't really want to see... I guess this is maybe a cultural thing, but I don't really feel like I'd want to see them in that light, and I wouldn't want them to see me in that light, because it just feels like, I don't know, kind of cringe, you know, because it's like your brother or your sister or something, you know. Yeah. This feels like a really it feels like a close kinship, and then you just feel like, I don't want to disrespect you like that, because I love you, you know. I love you in a different way, and I want to continue loving you in that way, so yeah. I want to continue respecting that portion of my relationship, I guess, is what basically what you do with relationships, you know. You pay tribute to the things that you want to keep alive.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty much saying with the boundaries, because it's like you have a boundaries with your female cousins that you would have with your male cousins.
Mm-hmm.
So the same thing as in a platonic friendship, where it's like, yeah, we cool, we can hang out, but there's certain stuff we don't talk about because that's not what we do.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like you wouldn't talk to people at work about you know, your debaucherous weekend or something, because you don't necessarily need them knowing that about you.
Yeah, I used to do that. Yeah. Yeah. So, I was 20. I was young. I was stupid.
That's okay. You know, you live and learn things. Just you live and learn with people and having relationships. And that's the beauty of having the ability to have those relationships with people and just kind of going about your way in a forthcoming manner, you know.
I have a beautiful fiance, and I can do those things with her. But before I was able to have, before I met her, if I wanted to go see a rom-com, I can't call up my guy friends and be like, hey, you want to see a rom-com? They'll laugh in my fucking face. But I could call one of my female friends and be like, oh, I'm going to go see this rom-com. They're like, yeah, let's go do this.
Call a girl that's probably in her luteal phase right now, and she's feeling like all she wants to eat is like Pepsi and Rocky Road and popcorn, and you just take this little feral hamster to the theater, yeah.
Yeah, I love watching I love The Notebook. I still love The Notebook.
Nicholas Sparks. It's such a sweet story. How could you not?
Yeah, there's none of my guy friends I could go see that movie with.
Actually, I think my fiance would go with you. Adam would definitely be down with watching The Notebook with you.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
So those are those things that I always so appreciated about having female friends is that you can do those things with them. Jewelry. If I needed to know what type of jewelry I should get for my girl, I would go with my female friends.
Well, do you remember what I told you about sizing her ring?
Sizing her ring?
You remember? I remember what I told you. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember.
Well, I did. I gave you some advice. But either way, you got it right. So, boom. Good for you.
Yeah. I definitely... she kind of knew she was getting a ring, though. That's the one part that was like... She kind of knew those.
Because you're just bad at hiding things, which is great. That's great. Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm totally like, yeah, I can't.
I love that for you, Rachel.
I'm terrible at that. But yeah, like I kind of remember, and I don't remember exactly what we talked about, but like, yeah, my guy friends, I could never have those type of conversation. Be like, hey, you getting married? I'm like, yeah, okay. It would never be like, oh, what kind of cut? Blah blah blah. Blah this and that. But that I do remember having those type of conversations with you where she's like, I told you exactly the type of cut, what should I get, blah, blah, blah. And those are things that you don't get from a regular, like, same sex friendships.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For sure.
And I always appreciate that. And I just know that there's times where there are good reasons to have just the platonic man and female relationships, but also there are times where it's like, I do like to prefer to not prefer, but if I want to hang out with my boys, we can have conversations that, like you said, with your female cousins, you can have certain conversations with them that right. You can't have with male
because it's, or you know, whoever's in your same sexual realm, I guess you could say, you know, because everybody has different gender roles that they want to play, and how, you know, however it works, whoever you feel comfortable explaining that to. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you feel like you're respecting your relationships in that same vein. So I guess that's where we were trying to pretty much like put it down, you know, is like, that's where you want to just, I like what you said too about boundaries and like in any type of relationship that you hold, you know, boundaries is a sign of respect.
Yeah, exactly. That's with anything. But I want to get back to the I think we'll probably end the podcast pretty soon, but I do want to talk about more about your wrestling history. You said you like Lucha Libre. You grew up watching it or just like here and there?
Oh yeah, I remember seeing it in Mexico. I remember my grandmother took me to like some circus and definitely would see like Lucha Libre happen there, you know, the guys with their masks on that they tie in the back and their little metallic pants and boots and stuff, and they'd just be throwing each other around the ring, and kids loved it. Man, we were so excited about it, and the drama that went down, you know.
Yeah, wrestling and Lucha Libre. Lucha Libre is wrestling, but traditional American wrestling there's no mask. In Lucha Libre, they take the mask very seriously, like, and they're just such classic artwork. Mm-hmm. Rey Mysterio is like the most famous luchador. Rey Mysterio Jr. is the most famous luchador of all time. And he still has the same lady that does his mask, the same company that does his mask for the last 20 to 30 years.
Mm.
To have that type of relationship and like the storytelling from luchador wrestling is just different because they're not really speaking. You don't get to see their face. You have to see the artistry of their movements and their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's those. I did love Lucha Libre wrestling,
and it's very comical, like in its slapstick. Yes. Comedy, and it's very expressive and comical, and that just gives it such like this dramatic flair. Plus, you know, the colors and the, of course, yeah, it's kind of like what do they call the Irish crest? You know, they're kind of like a
the crest,
you know, it's just kind of like it belongs to every specific wrestler, you know, and if they can hand it down to someone.
Oh yes, yeah, you can pass it down. Like Rey Mysterio Jr. got his mask from Rey Mysterio,
yeah,
his uncle. But do you ever think that like you said that I liked what you said with the comedy part of Lucha Libre, because like I feel like Lucha Libre has a look, because I used to grow up with a friend that was Puerto Rican, and they would always watch telenovelas. And I feel like that's like wrestling has that. It's like a telenovela. Like,
well, what they're doing, what they're doing in a lot of what you can see that they're doing in a lot of them is a satire based off that. You know, it's yeah. I mean, they're acting out something that you would see like sometimes in a telenovela. You know, and they're acting. Sometimes they act feminine, like the feminine character, and they, you know, and they get slapped, and they, oh, you know, and they fall, and then, and they're doing a satire play based on a lot of stuff like that.
I love that. That's why I was wondering, like, did I see that connection? And I'm like going one, but like, okay, so there is a thing to this. Okay, I love that.
Yeah, in a sense, it's like, you know, like you know how rodeo clowns do their thing when they act out scenes.
Yes.
And it, I'm not equating them to rodeo clowns. It's, you know, but it's in the same, the satirical sort of thing.
No, I get
and
that.
Slapstick, and it's just a lot of fun, you know. I mean, wrestling in itself is just a lot of fun.
Did you ever watch like American wrestling, like the WWE or?
So I didn't see. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a '90s kid, so it was like you can't not know that, like, Macho, you know, Randy, what's his name, Macho Man's up there, and Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker, and oh my God, I remember China, and like, yeah, I mean, epic, awesome. Like the 90s was epic for wrestling, and I just remember like just having a lot of fun with it, but I didn't get into it as much as other kids did.
Yeah. I used to think that if you would have told me wrestling was fake, I would probably like cry with a fit. Like,
oh my God, dude, I would never, you know what? Even as an adult, I won't tell you that wrestling's fake.
I expect you not to.
I don't, there's that inner child in you that I'm not trying to hurt his feelings, man.
I appreciate it. You know, the 90s was a resurgence of wrestling. It was the Attitude Era. So it was like, it was on everything. It was a mainstream, like how it just came back. Like people kind of forgot about wrestling in the, there was a 70s and the 80s. I don't think the 70s was popping, but the 80s people kind of were forgetting about it. And then like 90, 95, that's when they started getting back popular to where it was on like every channel. They're hitting like 30 million views and stuff like that.
Check you out. That you,
huh?
I said, wow, check you out.
Yeah, I know.
Some stats.
Yeah, but that's a time that wrestling can probably won't ever get back again. But like everything hits a mainstream and then kind of fades away. Skateboarding was always like a mainstream era. Everyone wanted to be Tony Hawk. It's just same as wrestling, where everyone wanted to be either the Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Oh man, I forgot to say the Rock. Holy moly, how could I forget what the Rock was cooking?
Who knew The Rock would become a? I love that. Who knew The Rock was going to be like the biggest star in the world, and that came from wrestling.
Yeah.
The wrestling, you could always get an avenue to do more things, and in that sport, that's what I loved about pro wrestling. Like you could be a wrestler one day, then doing a commercial for Slim Jims, like Macho Man did.
Yeah, that was so good.
It was awesome. I wanted to eat Slim Jims. They're disgusting.
Oh, that
Slim
was Jims so good.
Yeah.
Slim Jims are
gross, but he made me want to eat those.
Well, now, yeah.
If you wanted to create a wrestler, actually, before I ask you that, did you hear about the actress with the stabbing? She stabbed somebody?
No.
Reese. I don't know. Reese.
What did she stab another celebrity or?
Yeah, she said something like that, but you know her name, Reese
Witherspoon.
No, she stabbed him with a knife.
No.
I did that joke.
Good job, dude.
Thank you. You got me. I did that joke with my fiance, and she, as soon as she heard it, she's like, "Don't talk to me." She was done.
Dude, I totally walked directly into it too. Did not even hesitate.
Yeah. I knew it was coming. I wanted to do that one. I was like, oh, she's gonna let me do this. She's gonna get it.
Well, thank you for that one.
You're welcome. But before we end the podcast, I do want to do this part of the podcast where we create a wrestler.
Okay.
So you're going to be the wrestler. I know you have some luchador experience.
Yeah. But,
so if you're going to create your wrestler, we're going to start off with your name. What would be your wrestling name?
Man, my wrestling name would probably be something along the lines of like La Santa Bonnie.
Say that one more time.
La Santa Bonnie.
Okay, I ain't gonna be able to say that. La Santa.
It's basically Bunny the Saint because I'm trying. Ooh. Here.
Oh, I love that. Bunny the Saint.
I'm trying. Okay. Here. But it comes from another a tattoo I have that I did inside my lip when I was like 23, and the tattoo actually says a bad word. It says La Santa Puta.
Oh. And that, in English, that is?
It's Saint Bitch.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. So it was kind of like an alter ego. Yeah, it's still there. It's a tattoo. Okay. Yeah, kind of like an alter ego thing, but you know, I'm trying to be the better one now. So probably La Santa Bonnie.
Okay, Saint Bunny. I just thought you said the tattoo in your lip. I thought sometimes they fade.
They do, but I just keep getting it done.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. All right, yeah. All right. So now we're gonna go to your wrestling attire. What is the color or type of style of or you're gonna wear?
Oh man, I'm definitely just gonna go full on lucha libre. I'm gonna have like a lavender and lime green everything.
Are we gonna wear a mask?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay.
All yeah, right. Totally. I'm going like full on La Santa Monica, and I'm gonna wear lime green and lavender everything, and maybe some like sparkle boots.
Nice. I like that. Now we're gonna go with music.
Oh, what music!
Is your music entrance gonna be?
Ooh. I'm gonna play some Molotov. It's a Mexican rock band, and it's one of the only Mexican rock bands of the 90s that won a Grammy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they rock hard and they say a lot of bad words and they're very political and they care about people.
That's right on your alley.
Yeah, man. I think
that works. Now, everyone has a title they want to go for. What is going to be your title?
If I'm a wrestler, I'd want to win them all. But what does the patriarchy say about women?
Well, there's the women's title.
Okay.
Then there's the tag team title.
Because I don't know. Oh, they got a tag team too. I can bring another homegirl. This is cool.
Yep, you can bring another homegirl. WWF at one point had China as an intercontinental champion. I think she was the first and only female champion, and also a hardcore title.
Oh,
that's where I want.
We got to just go for it. We're going rock and roll already, so that's where we're going. Intercontinental, yeah.
Okay, intercontinental
championship. So that means I got to go get China, though, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Wait, she's dead? I didn't know.
She passed away a while ago.
Oh man, rest in peace, China.
Yeah, you can get Trish Stratus, Becky Lynch. There's a lot of female wrestlers out there. I don't know if you remember Jazz.
No.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if you're going to go be in a partnership, you're going to have a tag team partner. That's what you're going to go for.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I'll probably bring in my friend Bird. She's a mean little thing.
That would work.
Yeah, we now, could be Bunny and Bird.
Bunny and Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Saint. Oh no, that would be a good name for you guys. The Saints. The Lady Saints.
The Lady Saints, Bunny and Bird, yeah.
Yes. All right. For your finishing move, what would it be? Like the end of the match. What is it gonna be?
Okay, I don't know that I that I know this one, what it's called, but I've definitely seen China do it, where she'll jump up on the very corner of the, like after she's already, you know, gotten somebody down on the ground and they're just like, oh, moribundos, you know, and like that half dead. And she like jumps up on the corner of the ropes and like she's at the corner of the board and she's like, you know, yelling at everybody and there, and she's like, she climbs up on it and then she turns around and then she just like straight, just like jumps and just boom, butt right in the head with your legs straight out. What's that called?
Oh, like a leg drop.
Yeah. But like both legs out. I've just seen her just like boom, right on the, you know, it's pretty crazy.
So it would be a double leg drop.
Double leg drop. Yeah. That's what I'm going for.
That's your finishing move. Okay.
Double leg drop. Yeah, from the top run, from the top.
I can't even say it. Turnbuckle.
From the top turnbuckle. All right.
Yes. Oh, my Christian. God. Stink Bunny is doing her finisher. She's going for the double leg drop. Oh, that's over. That's how the match goes. Yeah, you guys can hire me on commentating for wrestling, guys.
You know what? Right. If we ever just throw a lucha libre, we're trucking you in.
I'm definitely down
for that. Sure.
I would love
that. I mean, we got Day of the Dead going here, so we're not too far off from straight up lucha libre.
That'd be fun. Just gonna give out your social media.
Yes, we are on Instagram at Lake Worth Hot Girl Walk Club.
Okay.
And is the same thing for Facebook, Lake Worth Hot Girl Walk Club. Mm-hmm. And there's a link to joining where you can fill out a survey and you can tell us who you are and we can contact you. And there's another link that shows you our actual walk. So you can click on those and check them out.
I love that. That's going to be a fun time for you guys to go out there and walk. All right, guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me. And let's do it again.
Oh, we'll. Oh, we'll always have you. I'll always have my favorite guests on, people I enjoy talking to. Yeah. Sorry, guys, if I sounded a little out of it. Got some cough medicine in me, so. So sorry if I'm like mumbling a little bit, but you guys can hear us. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Off the Handle. Thank you, Bunny, for coming on the show again. You can always find me at everything at Hey, It's Ronald, HEYITS, Ronald, RENALD. And again, like, go out to the walk. I'll be putting Bunny's link to Lake Worth Hot Girl Walk.
Club, you got it.
Club, yes. Just want to make sure I got it. Yeah. Right. So I'll put the link on there so you guys click that. You know, if anyone from Utica can actually find themselves in Lake Worth, go out and enjoy it, hit the club.
Stay positive, work hard.
Okay, again, thank you for being on the show. And this is Off the Handle. Bye.
Bye.